Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
You have to become so focused and let God so undertake your emotions so that you are capable of giving yourself.
On today's program, Dr. Olala begins a two-part series about spirit-filled men and women. This message was recorded at a chapel service in 1997. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, Spirit-Filled Men and Women, Part 1.
Today, we will be dealing with the number one target, I believe, that Satan has, and that target being the husband-wife relationship and then that parent-child relationship, so that relationships will be broken. In Genesis chapter 2, God gave Adam a responsibility. Then he gave him a restriction. Then he gave him a relationship. If you look at the Genesis chapter 2, where God created Adam, and Adam had a perfect relationship with God. God gave Adam responsibility. Then he gave Adam a restriction. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. He gave him a restriction, and then in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, he then gave Adam an earthly relationship. That relationship was perfect. Adam had a perfect relationship with God, a perfect relationship with Eve. Eve had a perfect relationship with God and a perfect relationship with Adam. There was an ideal. That ideal was God's plan. And if a relationship is to work today, it is still based upon each individual accepting his responsibility and his restraint. God has put restrictions as protections. The command, thou shalt not commit adultery, is a restriction to protect the relationship. The command to love God with all your heart is a restriction to protect our God relationship and then our relationship with one another. However, Satan came in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, and said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. So the subtlety of the serpent introduced sin into the garden. You can imagine how subtle the working of the serpent must have been, because a man in a perfect state, a woman in a perfect state, to be deceived into actually believing that there was a better way, and that better way was to disobey the one who gave the command. Isn't that really generally true in the breaking up a relationship? Some member of that relationship begins to believe that there is a better way. There has to be something better than this. So today, people say, just leave. Don't accept your responsibility, because today we want to talk about the responsibility in the maintaining of our relationships as husbands and wives. Now, you are here single. The applications are to you as a member of a body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, and the ministry that you have one to another within that body. You have a responsibility to love, to submit, to serve, to obey. You have restraints placed upon you that are protective restraints that are placed upon you, but human nature does not want restraint. It does not want to be told how to live. It does not want to be told what to do. Human relationship or human nature says, I will do what I want to do. I will not be told what to do. So sin came in and broke the God relationship and strained the man relationship with woman, and then Cain and Abel, the first two children, there was a murder. Cain killed Abel, and we were crashed into tragedy because Satan's plan was working. God had a perfect authority set up in the garden. There was perfect attitude in the garden, and there was perfect atmosphere in the garden. Three things that were true in the garden. Authority structure was right, attitudes were right, and atmosphere was tension-free. Sin came in, authority was turned into anarchy. The attitude was turned into hurt, accusations. And atmosphere was turned into tension. That's Satan's plan. God's plan was to follow his way, to take his responsibility, so that we might have God's atmosphere. The subtlety of the serpent comes in, that is ruined. Now, is it possible to have the same type of a relationship today as Adam and Eve had before man fell? Is it possible for Adam and Eve to have the same kind of a relationship, or for us to have the same type of a relationship that Adam and Eve had before the fall? Can we, as husband and wife, have the same type of a relationship that Adam and Eve had before sin? Those of you who have just been married say yes, those have been married a long time like this. So we have to find out where the truth is. Yes, it is possible to have the same kind of a relationship that Adam and Eve had. We can, as husband and wife, have the same atmosphere, the same attitude, and the same authority structure that there was before the fall. But how is that possible? If sin destroyed that relationship, what restored that relationship? The shedding of blood. A person comes to Christ in salvation. Now what is his potential? The potential is to live filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had a problem in your relationship? If you say you never have, then I am assuming that since the day of your salvation, you have never not been Spirit-filled. Never. What is the opposite of spirit filling? Self-centered living. And what is the result of two people who are self-centered trying to live together? Clash. You get two people who are spirit-filled together, and you have oneness because you have the mind of God. So if you have never had a problem in your relationship, it is because you either never communicate or you have been totally dominated by the Holy Spirit in your life. Here's normally what happens. When a person has been confronted regarding something in their life, they will try to look for someone with a sympathetic ear who will agree, not address the problem, who will agree. They go to this person, that person doesn't agree. They'll go over here. In situations where people have come who are divorced wanting to remarry, my first question is, how many other people have you talked to? Normally, I would be the seventh one, or I would be the tenth one. I said, if you have so much peace, why are you asking me? And they usually will keep on cruising until they can find someone who will agree. Because I don't like to be told that I have a difficulty or problem. If you do have a pressure, I am assuming that a relationship is not going to always break, and neither am I assuming that you are just about ready to break and everything is falling apart. Not at all. But as we go on to the normal functions of life with two people born in sin, who become saved, who have a grace leak, and the Holy Spirit of God is not controlling them totally at that time, you are going to run into conflicts and difficulties and problems and trials. realize that you have help and there is someone to whom you can go. But I ask, don't share your personal burden with someone who is not a part of the solution, nor is a part of the problem. Go to someone who can help you, guide you, direct you, so that the information does not get twisted and does not get turned aside and does not get all bent out of shape. So we see that God restored what was lost through sin. That's why Ephesians chapter 5 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What is the context of that instruction? The context of that instruction is immediately followed by inner rejoicing as an individual, mutual submission as believers, and then personal relationship, husband loving, wife submitting, child obeying, servant being in subjection to the master. That is the immediate context of that. So the Spirit-filled life then is the life that is demanded by the Scripture in that human relationship. Now we look at the Spirit-filled man. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. We're talking now about God's restoration of a problem. Man sinned. The relationship with the woman was broken. The children broken. Sin came in. Christ paid the penalty for sin, not as an atonement only, but as a total removal of that sin. We come together, have to be, first of all, holy in relationship, that's one in spirit, happy in relationship, that's one in soul, and healthy in relationship, that is one in body. So you have a holy relationship, a happy relationship, and a healthy relationship. Oneness of spirit, oneness of soul, oneness of body. That is now followed in Ephesians 5 and verse 18. In the early part of Ephesians, you see regeneration. You see sanctification. That's the key. That filling of the Holy Spirit. Then you see a right relationship in the physical relationship. Husbands are commanded to love their wives. Love is giving. Lust is getting. So we are commanded to love our wives. That seems to be so basic, but it's not natural. Every commandment for family living is spiritual, not natural. It is not natural for a man to love his wife. It is spiritual for a man to love his wife. Because what is natural for the man? The natural for the man is to get, not to give. Because loving demands giving. Husbands, love your wives even as, note this comparison, even as what? Christ loved the church. How did he show that? Even as Christ loved the church and, next words, gave himself. Gave himself. That's hard. Because that means I have to be dead to myself to give myself to my mate. Those of you who do not have a mate, you are in the bride of Christ. You are within the body of Christ, and you have to love. Just because you're not married doesn't mean that you do not have to love others in the body of Christ as Christ loved the church. That's agape love. And gave himself. Now, there are problems with that. Because we are giving ourselves to 100 things. We are giving ourselves to our work. We are giving ourselves to research. We are giving ourselves to recreation. We are giving ourselves to 100 different things. And if we do not mentally accept the responsibility to love, then I will not be fulfilling that responsibility of giving to my mate. Because oftentimes the husband is more perceived as just getting, not giving. And we have to guard that in ministries like this, because there are times, there are push times. There are times when you have time. There are times when you do not have time. And you have to plan your mind accordingly. There, when a rush time comes on, you have to be mentally prepared as husband and wife that this is not going to be the norm all the time. But it is the fact right now, and you have to mentally adjust to that fact, because otherwise the wife is going to have an expectation that is not fulfilled. Well, I expected to see my husband tonight. He said he would be home for supper at 6. He didn't show up till 8:30. Why? Because he was on a project. Well, we are packed and we are crowded with many different responsibilities. The greatest problem from the standpoint of the woman, according to a survey, I think it was like 1,300 women in a period of time, they said the passive male. Passive in regard to basic responsibilities, passive in regard to reading, passive in regard to devotions, passive in regard to discipline, passive in regard to all these other things, where in the dating time they were very active, in marriage they become very passive. And they're only active in the things that they want to make sure they get their way in that. So how is a husband to love even as Christ loved the church? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll look in verse 7. There is one reference there that I think will give us some type of a handle or some tangible text here to give us a pattern. Husband is to love, that is, he is to have passion. He is to be affectionate. He is to be a lover. But then he also has position. He is the God-placed authority. He is the God-placed leader. This is the Holy Spirit balance. Has position, but he's passionate. He has authority, but he is affectionate. He is a leader, but he is also a lover. That's why the husband is commanded to love. The wife is commanded to submit. So as a lover in that commandment, he is passionate. He is affectionate. He is a lover. The wife in submission gives him position, gives him authority, gives him a leadership responsibility. Difficulty comes in relationship when the wife sees more things to lead about than the husband does. Well, I wish my husband would lead in here, and I wish my husband would lead in that, and I wish he would lead in something else. You start praying regarding some of those matters. Now, how is that shown? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, likewise, ye wives, or likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. So the commandment there to dwell, that verb to dwell with them according to knowledge, that is saying you must make time. And let's just put this over off to the side as tools that would build our relationships. Time, the element of time. Dwell with them. That seems like a strange command. You married her, now live with her. Not only at the same address, but at the same time as much as possible. Dwell with them. The element of time. What was true of the relationships? What had God built into the early system in Mosaic law? When a man married, what was he to do? According to Deuteronomy 24:5. Okay, he was to be free at home for 1 year and do nothing but what? Cheer up his wife. That's the actual wording in the King James text. He is to be free at home for 1 year for what? To cheer up the wife which he hath taken. Time. You know what that says? Be free at home 1 year and do nothing but cheer up the wife. How would you like to have that as your only job for 1 year? Relationships didn't grow then like they do now. Basically, what would happen is mom and dad would say, it's about time for the lad to have a boy, a mate here, and they go to the mall with the camel, and boys praying and fasting at home, wondering what's coming home on that camel. I don't think, if you dug into Hebrew, it's exactly how it happened, but that it's generally the contrast that there was not a long dating period, and then there was not a long period of of getting to know one another. Well, can you imagine the panic that would set in 6 months in? She hasn't smiled yet. Come on, baby, it's not that bad. You can do it. I don't have 6 more months to pull this off. Come on, smile. The bottom line is, time is demanded for the emotional stabilizing of the woman. There must be time. When will a woman first show signs of instability? When she does not think that her husband is spending enough time. Boy, it's a project that you have to work on. Off to this side, just put yourself little projects. What am I going to do to make sure that adequate time is there? When you are carrying an emotional load besides your time pressure and your time load, and your mind is hassling on all these stupid things that you hear, you have to become so focused and let God so undertake your emotion so that you are capable of giving yourself to your mate. The time is one thing, but what shape you're in during that time is another thing. Can we transfer the load? Can we shift the load from our shoulder to God's shoulder, which is casting all your care upon Him? For He careth for you. Got a call from a large church, very large church, that said, God laid in our heart to have you come for a weekend meeting with us. I said, well, that was a weekend, and a couple days in next week, I said, no, let me check my... I didn't say that's full. I said, I have family written in there. They said, well, we've prayed. We really believe God wants to. I said, I have violated family priorities so many times in the past, I'm not going to do it. They said, well, would you pray? I said, I'll pray, but I'm not going to change my mind. So they called back a couple days later. And they said, hey, we'll do you right. I know what they meant by do you right. I said, I just can't. You know, I haven't heard a peep from... They probably figured I went to a Gothard seminar, gone deeper life, and I'm shot for the ministry. I'm not worth a plug nickel in the ministry any longer. I haven't heard a boo from that operation for so... You know what I've discovered over the years? The people who use you cast you away when you're no longer usable to them. As long as you're going to a camp and you're giving them a week at a clip and you're giving them weekends and so on, hey, you're great. But the minute you say no, you're no good. So, remember we got a letter, I don't know if Dr. Vaughn is in here or not, got a letter from a pastor on the west side of Wisconsin. We had to say no to a meeting. Remember he wrote, he said, when you get to a point where you don't think you're too much of a big shot to come to my church, you write to me. I thought, big shot, oh Lord, that is so not my heart. You know what I'm battling? I've got to have time. But then when you say, I'm going to make time, then you're getting lambasted from somebody else. You're a big shot now. What am I trying to say? The reality of ministries is that we battle. We battle things, and Satan would come and bang every little thing. Every little thing blows me out of the water anymore. But then I have to go back, okay, I'm going to focus, I'm going to... Because what Satan wants to do, Satan wants to blast us, blow us out of the water as staff people, as staff members. And we have to be wise, we have to be discerning. But at the same time, thank the Lord for a wife God has given to me. I'd not be in the ministry without Charlene, and I never would have stayed in the ministry had God not given me her character as a mate. Why? Because it's been too tough. I think it would have been different. Now, the time that is together is crucial. I better move on from here. Secondly, live with her according to knowledge. According to knowledge, let me just put this, knowledge is gained through talking. You have insight about her. Not every wife is the same. Not every woman is the same. Well, with her, according to knowledge. Know her. Talk with her. What if you say, he won't listen? He will not listen. There's been a wife calling Charlene in panic, wanting to come for an appointment. And I said, I'll talk with both of you. I don't want a wife coming in and unloading. I want a husband and wife there together. I think it's a bad mistake when a man listens only to one. If it's the husband coming in, where's the wife? If it's the wife coming in, where's the husband? Because you're going to get an emotional report from both directions. Now, Charlene could talk and encourage this lady some, but really her contention is he doesn't think there's a problem, and I'm ready to break the relationship. In fact, she said she was on her way to the hospital this past summer. She had to go in for something minor. She said, in my mind, I was going to open the van door and bail out. And she said, I'd be out of everybody's face, including his. These are people who want to be serving God. And difficulties come in. But when a man says there is not a problem, then he has to come to the point to realize that if she says there is a need and if she says there's a difficulty, then it is worth knowing, taking time to know her and talk and listen. There's a great ministry in listening in our relationships. Know about her. Dwell with her according to knowledge, giving honor. Consider precious. Let's just put this down as the tool of tenderness. Be tender, thoughtful. Notes. You know, down through the years, you've all had little signals of communicating. Used to be three taps or three winks. That means I love you. Loving, tenderness, tender. But you know, that's not our norm, is it? Our norm is if things aren't getting done, just thunder.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala with part one of Spirit-Filled Men and Women. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org. bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.